Welcome to episode 150 of Muse on Minis. Musing and amusing.
I was going to let him say it.
The episode where we actually kick John off the podcast. And Josh and Lance.
We've done this before.
This is...
Brave New World.
It's been done.
And much better.
Yes, yeah. We had an episode that went wrong, so we're replacing it. Here in a more different professional sound studio.
Much more familiar to our past.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
A little reminiscent of the olden days.
I can hear a furnace running.
Not quite as loud.
Not as loud. It's not
from
as close.
From time to time.
There's less spiders. I didn't have to step over like
no
a
rats.
Week's worth of clothes to get down.
Oh, God.
So there's been some new updates that we want to talk about. There's a... Was that just an infernal clarification?
Well, yeah, I'm Colin.
Oh, right. We need to...
We're so bad without John to...
I'm Colin, and I play Grizzin.
I am Crump, and I play Circle. And Rhett. And Marks. And that's Chad.
This is Keith, and I play Cricks and Stuff.
Yep.
And now into our topics.
So it was an infernal clarification?
Yeah, so I think it was Valander the other day posted...
Demon Tux.
Someone had a question about Clamjacks slamming, and if they didn't reach their slam target, did they open up or something like that? And essentially, the current ruling, and I think Valander mentioned in the thread it was going to get errated, was that Clamjacks slamming... and trampling no longer open them up.
They might as well be called slam jacks now.
You say.
No, I think slample jacks.
Slample?
Yeah, slample.
Slample jacks. Yeah, no. Don't love it.
Yeah. But yeah.
I don't like it as much as crample.
Ooh, that's good.
Cramples.
I like that. Wait a bit.
Cramplers?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we need...
No, that's terrible.
So what do you guys think about the ruling?
I learned about this through Chris, who sent me a million texts just being like, this is ridiculous. Look at these amazing busts through this, like, Kator Jack. I'm like, holy crap, that's actually really annoying. The text was actually, I think you will want to start playing Epic Kai more this year because I think we will finally see Clam Jacks being played. And I was like, why? And he's just like, oh, this is interesting. He's just like, I'm like, man, that's actually really freaking sweet. Like...
I have faith in Kator players to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah, no, they did. immediately. Like, I was like, man, if I was a mobile...
Whatever, kid, this jack is still bad. If I want to make a real attack with it, it's just going to be armor 17. It's not that hard to kill armor 25 nowadays anyway. Even so, it's still only going to be speed 4, and it's only going to be able to trample 7 inches.
Yeah, that's the best part. It was like, this is exactly... I was like...
Did I nail it? Did I miss anything?
No, that's spot on. That sounds exactly like Nigel.
Yep.
And podcast. Like, that's all you can put out.
Broke and done.
Still takes focus, which my casters don't have to spare to make these trample and slam attacks that don't really do anything anyway.
I mean, this guy's clearly broken with Harkachev, right? Or Harkachev? Is that how you say
Harkachev.
Harkachev.
I thought it was Vichkahar.
I like Harkin. Oh man, that's
Harkachev.
That's pretty sweet.
Karchev and Harkovich get together. It's like their Brangelina like mashup. Like they're dating. It's their dating name.
Oh my god.
Their couple name.
Oh, somebody has to play like a two caster game with those two of your as your caster and call that your list.
Harkachev.
So, yeah. On the discussion of. This is my response to Chris was like, man, since I'm not a Mopey Kator player, I think this is a pretty good like buff. Because if you think about it, almost every single one of their casters that already currently sees competitive play have a speed buff for their jack in some fashion or another.
Mm-hmm.
So like P. Irisk, either the superiority or there's only two casters with the superiority, right? Strakov
and Irisk.
Does Strakov's feed a lot of slams? And tramples.
I
think it'll last slams.
Epic. Oh, Strakov. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like
for the speed bonus.
Yeah.
Charge only.
Yeah.
Like, because it's based on the enemy models.
That's right. You have to target a model.
Charge plus that's 4 inches against enemy models in his control area. It's a fairly bad feat.
I think it would be pretty good with like any of the casters that can give it a speed buff. So realistically in Kador, it's like a 9-inch trample if you want it, because Sorcha has Boundless Charge. Vlad has Boundless Charge. Vlad, too, has a Sail, right? That gives...
Okay. This is not...
A Sail is upkeepable Boundless Charge, basically. Right. I don't. It doesn't require you to charge. It's just...
This ruling is not yet in effect.
Oh.
That's something that I should clarify. Valander's last post was, to be perfectly clear, this ruling does... Or wait, does take effect immediately. Never mind. The opposite of what I just said.
Hey, Lance.
Now Lance, happening. I mentioned that it would be in the next errata to alleviate concerns of if Infernal Rulings not making it into the errata, but since the errata doc, blah, 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 blah. So the errata will come out in the next couple months here, but it is now in effect that Clamjacks do these things.
And they'll probably give them all reach.
They are now they're now cramplers.
Cramplers?
Clamplers.
Clamp.
I don't know. There's a does Boundless Charge allow give you additional on slams and tramples? Or is it just charges?
Probably just charges.
Quick, to the war room.
Boundless Charge?
Those words do not...
Isn't Boundless Charge exactly what Rush used to be? Doesn't it force a charge?
Yes. To the war room.
So Boundless Charge forces a charge.
Less talking over each other today.
Dang.
I think Boundless Charge might specify slamming, though.
Let's
see. I'm not 100% on this, so it's worth checking.
Well, that's normally what we have Renth for. Forward, Commander Sorcha.
Up here it is.
Charge without sending focus. Yep, plus 2 inches of movement and Pathfinder when it charges.
Only charge.
Just charges.
What's a Sail read? Jesus Christ, what in the heck is the name of...
All right, so not as many casters can take advantage of this as we initially thought.
It's still good with either of the superiority casters. I would think Epic Iris because of... And maybe Butcher because of whatever that spell is.
Energy to Sail. Also, I still think it's good even without a speed buff, because how do you deal with...
Yep, a Sail works on slams.
How do you work with... How do you deal with an armor 25 jack? You know, you usually have to, like, hit another jack, like throw another jack into it, in which case, like, your Kador, you can probably kill that jack.
I mean, like, even the jack almost doesn't kill it, right?
Most war jacks
can't
kill
jack.
An armor
But, I mean,
25.
Even so, the other way that people would deal with it is, you know, they would go and... You charge like a bunch of weapon masters or something into it, right? Like, and then
maybe
the idea was that
if you also have Parasite
armor 25, like, yeah. I don't know, armor 25 with 34 boxes. I don't know if I could one round that without putting like two heavies into it.
My plan usually when I'm killing those is like parasited and hope to spike with a couple of Mechanithrals to knock off an arm. And then we're in business.
Right.
It's, like, it's usually not good.
Yeah, you actually do.
Oh, man, I had to
say. Like, our dice -7 with Parasite on it. Like, when combo striking, it's not good.
Oh, man, I had to send 2 Mechanithrals into a jack to take out an arm.
You mean like 9?
Yeah, it's definitely problematic. So it's not good with the Boundless Charge casters, per se. Seems pretty good with Epic Vlad because of a Sail. It's also actually pretty good with P Vlad because of the feet.
Or I feel like it's Vlad really good 3. With 3 Butcher.
Sure. Yeah, like, anyone who can buff its speed. I'm falling in love with the idea of playing it with P Irisk.
God, it terrifies me thinking about having to kill a Clamjack when there's 3 Butcher in a list. And then I send 2 heavies into a Clamjack and then Butcher just kills my 2 heavies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably just wouldn't send your 2 heavies into the Clamjack.
Okay.
That's the thing, is that before you would just be like, okay, well, whatever, I'm just going to ignore this Clamjack, because if it ever attacks me, I can murder the hell out of it with whatever like I want, basically, at that point, because it's armor 17.
And now it's just like running over 2 to 3 infantry models a turn.
Or slamming annoying things and like not causing annoying knockdowns, and then being like it's in the way of your list, and like a certain number of your army is knocked down, you know, a small amount of your army.
Now it just feels like it's something you have to deal with at some point.
Yeah, like you can't ignore it. You can't ignore it anymore is the problem. Like, you can't just be like, okay, well, whatever. You're not going to be able to do anything, but I'm just going to ignore you. You know, and like before, you'd be like, oh, free strike? Nope. Free strike? Nope. Like, you know, nobody would
and
ever
all they would
any
do
free
is
strikes
like
with it.
Bulldoze you around a little bit, and you're like, meh. Whatever.
Yeah, you just kind of ignore them. But now they're like, you can't really ignore them because they're going to be slamming and trampling all over your, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
and they get, actually, bulldoze makes their slams and stuff a little bit more interesting. I'm not actually not positive on how that interacts.
Yeah.
How does bulldoze work with trampoline?
Yeah, that's actually what I was just thinking in my head.
Does that even work?
Don't say anything. Brent will get it right.
No, just leave it. Leave
Brent,
it.
Get that one.
We're not sure how this works, and we don't want to look like idiots.
Some people come and tell us how bulldoze interacts with slams and tramples.
We can
because
probably figure it out.
That's a lot of work.
That's too
we're podcasting.
God, that sounds boring.
Yeah. No, no.
It's probably great.
I can't land there. Bonk, 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 bonk. Thanks.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, even if you don't want to do all this other stuff, like you don't want to spend the focus on your jacks or the jack is too far to be controlled, you can still use it the way that they used it. They used to use it. You know? I mean, the only thing about clam jacks in the current meta is colossals might have a chance of killing them.
And they don't really kill colossals.
With certain buffs, they do.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to say about bulldoze.
16. They're 16.
So here's what I'm going to say about bulldoze and trampoline. It better not work because I don't want to bulldoze a model with my mammoth and knock it underneath of where my base would be.
Yeah.
Where I would normally go right over. That can't work.
Well, you're not going to trample with your mammoth anyway.
Yeah, there's times I've come close to trampling if there wasn't Quagmire.
Bulldoze has... Boom, it's on the card. Bulldoze has no effect when this model makes a trample power attack.
Oh!
Suck it, Ren.
Oh, reading the card.
Spoiled
again.
But no, they're only power 16, so they're kind of... Like we were talking about, or I was talking about it with Chris, and the caster that it immediately seems best with me is either the superiority, and since Strakov is effectively a turd, that means Pierisk. Because having a mat 8, 9-inch trample that is POW 12, it's pretty good.
Have you thought about it with Redline?
Oh!
The difference from mat 6 to mat 8 tramples is pretty...
That's not what I'm... It still speeds you up, and then...
Yeah.
And then you destroy your own Hyperion.
Maybe that is the problem with Redline with those guys, is you're like, well, D3 a turn is more than I'm going to do. Keep upkeeping that spell. Like, 16 turns, we'll be good to go.
I don't know. I just immediately thought superiority is just dumb. Mat 8 tramples and Def 12 armor 25 is a whole nother beast than 10-25.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It still seems good to me. Like,
yeah, because we. Don't
I'm sure all the Kator. I'm gonna love like listening to all the Kator players calling us idiots, though, and we don't know what we're talking about with Kator.
I can't wait to listen to Focus and Fury
because that's what always happens. I love it every time.
This doesn't solve any of the problems that we have, which are numerous.
I just tell them to play Harkachev.
Harkachev.
Why aren't you playing Harkachev, idiot?
It's such an easy like mod too. You just take. Karchev and just put Harkovich's head on it instead.
I was going to say put Harkovich's hammer in his hand.
And that.
That's his tiny little, teeny little hammer.
I don't know. I think it's a
and
pretty...
And then you put Karchev's axe on Harkovich.
I think it's a pretty interesting change. Obviously a buff, but knowing Kator players, they still won't play him.
Yeah, I think it makes the Clamjacks an interesting include in a lot of different lists. Giving them some scenario potential they didn't have before.
Also, the inability to ignore them from now on.
Yeah.
Well, you can ignore the hell out of them. They're just going to kill, like, 4 models.
Seems low percentage to ignore them.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden some slam happens. You're like, things have gone badly.
Or it eventually just, like, gets to your caster.
Yeah, and to prevent it from slamming, you like, pile up guys around it, but then it makes its powers up its trample. Like, it just seems good to me. I don't know. It seems good to me. That's all I have to say. Like, maybe... Maybe it won't.
Just going to get jammed with medium-based models. It's never going to do anything.
I mean, that's something that I thought about, is I'm happy for that. At least I don't have to worry about the trample. Like,
yeah.
I'll just throw a Rune Shaper in the way every turn. Good. Or a Creel Warrior.
It's going to be two Boom Howlers base to base with it. And meh.
Just high-fiving it. Yeah, I don't know. It's... God, I forgot trampling doesn't work over medium bases.
Yep.
Forgot about that.
Is that how you planned on killing your trolls? Troll matchups?
Well,
just trample
I have
over
been
them and
trampling over medium based models lately.
I guess with your razor.
Kaka!
Like against Fox the other day, I trampled over a bone chicken. That felt pretty cool. But Yeah. I forget how actual tramples work now.
We've talked about clam jacks.
Yep. Yeah, they're boring.
What's mopey. Next?
What you got?
What? I thought you were going to do your...
Sky, yes.
List busters.
List busters. Explosions!
Okay. I don't get what's happening right now. But, gotcha.
For those of you who play Borderlands 2, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever.
What about Borderlands 2?
You have to play the Borderlands 2 DLC. But lots of people do. I just have one question. Explosions!
Is that something like Tiny Tina does or whatever?
No, it's Mr. Torg.
Well, yeah, I have no idea who that is.
My phone has been so slow lately.
So there's going to have to be some editing magic?
No. Maybe we should just do
We can talk about the list before
you... love automata... Or people love, you know, the Spanish flea and off-key... God, I hate you guys.
Pudding.
Jello pudding.
We're
come on, this is why we pay
that.
Lance, right?
Wait.
This is why we pay Lance.
Wait. What? Man, why don't I get paid?
Do you remember the list?
I do. Right. I have it pulled up right now.
Go. Good.
So, this list, which was submitted by Valkeen from the forums, a.k.a. Stu from Ireland, a.k.a. Anton from Ireland.
A.k.a. AKA Anonymous Irish Podcaster.
Good job, Chad.
A.k.a. Anonymous Irish Podcaster. His list is a Hunter's Grim list. The battle group is 2 Slag Trolls and an Impaler. The Rune Barrier is in there. And then the meat of the list is a full unit of Gator Man Posse, a full unit of Burrowers, a minimum unit of Scatter Gunners with UA, which I got right this time.
Good job.
Yep.
Excellent work.
The Sons of Bragg. And then the support is Felcaller, Pendrake, and Chronicler. So, what are you doing?
Stop it.
So, the whole idea behind the list is... He wrote a whole big thing about it. The whole big idea behind it with most epic grim lists is cast mortality on stuff, kill stuff. But the Gatormans can kind of be a...
Yeah, they're fine on their own.
They can hold a flank off and they can, you know, they're pretty good. They're pretty hardy to kill. And that's the other thing about this list is there's no Creel Stone, so I like the Gatormans a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
When you don't have a Creel Stone. And then the battle group is basically just mainly to blow up one thing on the feat turn or, like, assassinate. Because you've got multiple POW 12s that boost up to POW 14 with mortality, and then they get really accurate on the feet, and they all get snipe.
Yep.
And then he's got, you know, Pendrake in there to, like, it's kind of good because, like, you've got Pendrake against your Hordes factions, and then you've got 2 Slag Trolls if you're playing against War Machine factions. So the Slag Trolls, you know, guns become a lot better when they're shooting at Warjacks.
That they do.
So, yeah, I like this list. I played it against Colin, who was playing a Zol list.
Yep.
And it was... I think we made a number of big mistakes, and the dice were really wonky in this game. Like, Colin had some bad dice on the... I might not have done this list justice in the way that I played it, because the game was a little weird. Like, normally the way that you run Burrowers, I feel like you want to have the Burrowers... Like, I feel like the way that this list is normally going to deploy, the Burrowers are probably going to be out front like normal. They're going to burrow. The Gatormans are going to run up, you know, run up as far as possible, and then Scattergunners are going to be kind of, like, enveloping them from the back like they do.
Right.
Clear, yep. Friendly, or friendly faction?
And then you put...
Friendly.
Clear is friendly.
Okay.
And then you put Mirage on the Scattergunners to give them additional placement, movement. You know, range for getting around the Gatormans, or getting into aiming range for, yep, you know, things that...
Giving sweet aims.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening was, because Colin deployed his... He deployed his only guns in the list pretty much in the back of his army.
Yeah, I had placed Annihilators in my front lines, and then I had Reavers behind them. And it kind of jammed me up a little bit on my guns.
So what I ended up doing was way different than normal, where I ended up having the Burrowers just run on the first turn, and then I put Mirage on them.
Huh.
Just so that I could either Mirage and then burrow for a 7-inch burrow. Or Mirage and then charge, which is what I ended up doing.
Sure.
And then I'm not sure that was actually the correct play, though, because his you were playing Zal with the Gator Booker and the Grizzen.
The Grizzen, yep.
The
yep,
Grizzen.
Yep.
The Swamp Shamblers. I got to charge up and kill seven Annihilators with Mortality, which I love doing. Oh, my God. It smells so good.
Yeah, no touch checks. Pretty good.
And then...
on a Def 13, Arm 13 unit.
And then... but then he gets to play seven Swamp Shamblers and pretty much... And with Last Stand, the Swamp Shamblers are... with Last Stand and plus two strength from the Taskmaster.
All of the Burrowers forever.
Yeah. And they're just really good, like, in general, with Last Stand and plus two strength. Like,
or they'll also kill Gators.
You might have even been able to not upkeep Last Stand, and then they could have just killed the Burrowers with Backstrikes, needing sixes.
Yeah, and that was...
Yard.
That's CMA.
CMA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had a number of choices, but he was kind of jammed up. And then in order to try and get into the zone, he ended up throwing in Hakkar, and he had Moloch Hakkar and, like, try to charge my caster and fail by a small margin.
I tried to charge a Gator and then sideset to his caster, and I failed by, like, less than a quarter of an inch.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was all skill on my part. Like, I knew that he wasn't gonna.
Yeah,
actually, I just forgot about Rush.
I forgot to push.
I forgot about Rush, so my Gator was like 13.1 inches away from Moloch Karn, but I was like, oh, there's no way he can get there. Like, he's only got 11 inch throw range. He's like, well, 13 with Rush. I was like, oh crap, that might be 13. So anyway,
whoopsie.
Then dice happened to me because I was like, okay, an aiming Slag Troll should be able to kill Hakkar, like, no problem.
Yep.
And
does it get the dice?
Yeah, the bonus.
Yeah, he's not living, so yeah.
That's awesome. I wasn't sure if it specified Warjacks or not.
No, it says non-living.
Okay.
But then, I only did like 6 points of damage with him with both attacks. And then my Impaler did like 1 point of damage to him with boosting to hit. And so I had to have my second Slag Troll. So then I just had three Gators left to charge Moloch Karn, who was knocked down in Mortality because Beast Lore... That's part one of the things I like about this list the most. I think Pendrake has a really good, and he wrote about this in his write-up. Pendrake has a really good interaction with the Hunter's Grim, where if you Beast Lore, the unit, then they all get boosted attack rolls against War Beasts. Yeah. So
you can snare gun somebody.
Yeah, it makes snare gunning really, really, really reliable if you're trying to knock down a War Beast. It actually makes your game really good against anything that's not.
That's actually really good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's super good against Circle
and Legion,
and it's good against non-Angelius Legion.
Actually, thinking back at it...
Isn't the knockdown guy we're at 4?
They're at 6.
Oh.
They're super pigs.
Oh, so you can... Oh, wait. Angels are serpentine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Looking,
that's bullcrap.
So looking back at it, I should have just kept forcing you to reroll that.
No. I don't think that would have been good.
Why not?
Because I was rat 8 that turn. So I would have needed less than 5 on 3 dice.
Yeah, but I didn't even have, because Moloch Karn failed his charge. Yeah. I only had 1 Fury
on
him.
To be fair, it's not like he can force you to reroll the auto hits from there on out, so there's no reason not to.
I mean, and I was already low on Fury, and I cut myself for 2.
So yeah, since you made a mistake, you should have.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I probably would have still continued to hit.
Most likely.
Well, yeah, probably, but...
But
I don't know, Chad. I understand numbers.
So anyway, I had a knockdown mortality, Moloch Karn, survive against 3 charging Gators and a charging Felcaller. That was very sad. And a boosted Slag Troll shot.
It was arm 20.
Yeah, you're bad. Why was it arm 20?
It had Iron Viable Resolve, but that was really bad dice, just in general. But anyway... I don't know. I like this list a lot, though.
Yeah, I never thought about the Pendrake interaction.
Pendrake interaction is nice. I also like that there's a Chronicler in there, and there's a lot of targets for the Chronicler between the Scattergunners, the Grim himself, and the Burrowers.
Is Pendrake's melee and ranged attack boosted, or is it anything?
Attacks.
It's just all attacks. So spells, too, like Mortality.
Yep.
Pretty good.
It is pretty sickening as a Hordes player. Yep.
Why don't you just punch Pendrake in the face with your bronze back?
Because there was a forest for him to hide behind.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sweet for me because the Grims can, step out of it and then step back into it.
Mm-hmm.
The other things I like about this list are the Sons of Bragg and the...
Stop it.
Put your mic down.
Do it.
The only...
Bam, bam,
bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was. Maybe I should play another game with it. I like this list a lot.
What did
actually.
You like about the Sons of Bragon list?
Like,
I mean, they didn't actually do much, but they're just a better. That's the thing. One of the things I've been noticing with Grimm is he kind of has a difficult late game if a lot of his early game hard hitters get removed, and if you play them way back, like you can have them, you can put Mirage on them so that they can be farther back, but then still be relevant. And have them, you know, come in for the late game, you know.
Sure.
Hard hitting. The questions that he was asking about it, he says, you know, he's interested in feedback on good or bad matchups for it. I feel like the worst matchup for it probably is just a heavy armor skew, which is probably, weirdly, I think one of the, it's just it's kind of the way that a lot of Epic Grimm lists get built, since they try and utilize the feat
for the
enough.
And stuff, yeah.
So you usually have, I see either a unit of burrowers or a unit of scattergunners in with him, and then his battle group is usually ranged focused. And so high armor can be somewhat of a problem for him, even though he has an armor debuff.
Yeah, because the list usually caps out at like pow 15s.
It's a really good list at killing one thing at a time. Like if they have one really high armor thing, the list can probably just blow it off the table. Yeah. But like if they have multiple, you know, high armor things.
That's actually and leads into potentially a subject for another time, but it's easy to make that mistake with casters that have armor debuffs. You're like, oh, well, I don't need to put in armor cracking elements because they make whatever an armor cracking element. Like, I've definitely played Denegro or Scar lists where I'm just like, yeah, well, it doesn't matter what I put in there. And then I'll be
right.
I can't cast spells on that. Crap.
Yeah.
Avatar!
Yeah. So, I mean, this list might have problems with that. But I don't know. The Gators make it a little bit interesting, at least, I think, because getting them up to POW 15 with mortality, and then you still have the Burrowers to aim and shoot guns, and you have the Sons of Bragg. So it might not be a problem. I think it probably requires more testing. Because if you're going against high armor War Machine 2, then the Slag Trolls are pretty...
Yeah.
They get a lot more...
I mean, I don't feel like your matchup was terrible, just because I had a lot of low... Like, pretty much low-def, low-arm infantry in my list. And so, like, scattergunners just rip it apart, and, like, it's just...
Well, the other thing is you have the option, since you have the Slag Troll, you have the option of giving the +4 damage to something via mortality in your target and then giving the Slag Troll animus to whatever's going to charge in. Yeah. So, like, the turn that I needed to kill Colin's Gladiator, I had it knocked down because it was just all war beasts are going to be knocked down versus this list all the time. And then... or whichever you're going to be charging anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then... it got mortality, and then it got shot by Grimm's gun, and I boosted the damage on it. So that's a POW 15 boosted damage right off the bat. And then the Slag Troll got his animus cast on him by the other Slag Troll or Grimm, I forget. And he gets a charge for free now that Grimm's gun damaged the target. And so then you've got a POW 17 free charge, which changes the map.
Yeah, plus the boosted 15 already you've got. Skews like, things in your favor.
It's pretty good at killing. Like, that's pretty good, but then the only thing there is you need to have your targets need to be within range of the Slag Trolls, which have a very small threat range. So you need to have them, like, aggressively far up a zone, and they can die pretty easily when they're not under the Creelstone Aura, which this list doesn't have.
Yep.
So, because they're only armor 17 with 22 hit points, so they're easier to kill than a Warpwolf Stalker by a lot.
Yeah, they're only def 12.
Yep.
God, how did I not realize that angels were serpentine until this podcast?
I don't know.
I'm sure you knew it. You just didn't.
Yeah. Well, I just don't knock things down that often.
Yeah, have you been looking at angels being like, I should just knock it down. That would make life easier.
I haven't thought about that.
So another question he had was whether there was too much support in this list or not, with currently sitting at 9 points with the Chronicler, Pendrake, Fellcaller, and Runebearer. And I don't think that that's too much.
Nah. Well, especially since Pendrake actually has a gun and can do stuff himself.
And Fellcaller also has a really good gun, especially on the feet turn.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty on par for in terms of support for most armies. Like, when I played Menoth, it was 8 points almost every
list. It's actually a little low for troll lists on support, actually.
Yeah.
I'd never view Pendrake as, like, a support piece.
Grimm is +4, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually, I would count it as a little bit more because he already brings some what I would consider to be generally support models with him.
Yeah.
He brings about a point or two.
What? Crump does so much work.
What did Crump do that game?
I'm the best.
I still have not killed that guy.
Yeah. But
I've played against him like four times.
That's what I was hoping when you sent Mullet card in. I was hoping like... No, I was hoping like if you actually did hit the gator...
Oh, my first attack was going to
I was going to try and convince you to go over to Crump instead of to Gunter.
That would have been my first attack. You don't even know. Like, I would have spent one fury on my first attack to hit him.
Should probably play Epic Morgul.
Let me make a tough check and then you're like, crap. Buy another one.
I mean, at least he's knocked down. I'm going to automatically hit now.
God, I like that list.
I like it a lot, too. I don't think the Chronicler is too much support. Like because the Chronicler is so good with Grimm, and he has such a good synergy with between, you know, just giving Concealment and Feign Death to units to make them more survivable, since you don't have the Creel Stone to make things more survivable, and giving the Tale of the Hero's Tragedy to give Knockdown Beacons, essentially. Like, it's a really big deal. So that, you know, if models come in to kill the burrowers, then they get knocked down, and then you can cast mortality on them without having to boost or.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, his other question is, does the list hold scenario zones well enough, and do the gators pull their weight? And I say yes on both, but you have to be careful. Because, like, for this list, like, I was going up against Colin's list that had a unit of Venator Reavers, and those gators really, really, really don't like seeing Venator Reavers.
They don't.
How 12, pew!
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been playing the Gatorman a little bit more lately, and they're not the, like, auto-get-tons-of-work-done-and-never-die unit that they're advertised as sometimes.
Mm-hmm. They don't like POW 12 shooting.
They do not at all care for POW 12 shooting.
POW 10's okay. POW 12.
Something that might be... I'm not sure. It might be an interesting change for this list. Would be I think it might be overall worse. But if you take out the Gatorman posse and you put in... Wrong Eye Snapjaw, maybe? For holding a zone. And then you have a little bit more heavy... Like, I guess it's... You're trading off more single-target heavy removal versus...
Yeah.
Spreading out your heavy removal. But they can hold a zone, like, by themselves super easily. And
true.
Then if you're going up against an infantry swarm, that's exactly what Grimm wants to see when he's got burrowers and scatter gunners. So I'm not sure it's better, just because I think the Gatorman's probably end up doing more work overall.
Yeah, probably.
But I think that it's interesting. And then the other thing that I like about Wrong Eye and Snapjaw with this list specifically is that Wrong Eye or Snapjaw doesn't usually... He's kind of mediocre, like, on his own, but if you have any way of buffing him at all, he becomes incredible. And Mortality is a really good buff for him.
It's
so
like Primal.
Yeah, Primal without...
So what you're saying is I need to take him with P. Morgul to abuse him.
Can you?
You can.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, my God. That's really good, actually.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, that'd probably
agree with
really
you
good.
100%, except for Brunnen Log instead.
No.
God, no.
Dalian Scareth?
Better than Brunnen Log, but still not as good as Wrong Eye Snapjaw.
Correct.
Yeah.
R&B.
So that's the only... Yeah, I feel like I've talked for long enough. People are probably getting bored of listening to me.
I like that list a lot. I mean, I don't think... I actually don't view Saxon Orc as support, really, because he's Matt's...
You mean Victor Pendrake?
Oh, yeah. Right, the other guy that hates that guy. Right. Yes. He's got a Red 6 POW 10.
Yeah, he killed Markath.
He did.
Yeah.
He shot Markath to death with that bow.
Like, he'll kill one infantry model, and then he's paid for himself, like, halfway.
It's just interesting, specifically in that list, when you're playing against Tords, because usually Pendrake is like... It's like, well, I've got this really crappy chance to knock down something, you know, with my Rat 6 Bola.
Yeah.
But, like, Muggs is basically the exact same as him. with a Rat 6 range 8 knockdown.
With your powers combined.
But then you can boost it, yeah. And then even if you're not playing against Hordes, then you have two Rat 6 range 8 knockdowns. So that's like a free reroll.
Pendrick needs to start making it into more of my lists. He's a very good...
He's a boss.
And Doc is, like, the most annoying thing ever. Oh, God. He's, like, facing down a Bronzeback. Suck my nuts!
Especially under Starcrossed.
Sometimes you just roll the hard boxcars and just one-shot him with your Ripwords.
And then he makes a tough check.
That was the greatest thing. So. We're good. So... Colin played a scoring list against Chad, and Colin wanted to dojo this.
Oh, okay.
Time.
Let's dojo this list. So I played Zol.
I played Zal. The list has Marketh. At the time, it had Mullet Karn, a gladiator, and that was the only Warbeast I had in the list. And then I had Hakkar, a Taskmaster, Annihilators, the Grizzen, the min unit of Beast Handlers, and a max unit of Reavers with UA.
What are the Grizzen for people that might not know?
What? The Grizzen are the Shamblers.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you actually knew the name of the unit, because I wasn't sure.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do know what they're called.
Okay.
But Grizzen is so much better. But yeah.
It is. I agree.
It's better.
You're stupid.
But so, basically, what I liked about... Because last year I played Tiberian with Zal and a threading... 11 inches with Tiberian, you know, kills everything within 11 inches I want to kill. But the idea was I was going to free up Mullet Karn for my list, because my other list was going to be a Marketh list that just had a mammoth, basically. And so this list could have in any Warbeast I wanted in it. So I decided to try Mullet Karn and see what he can kill at 13 inches rather than 11 inches. And it seems like he the other day, I won round of Prime Axiom with Mullet Karn. So. Yeah,
with the feet, that's pretty likely.
Yeah,
right?
With just the feet and no last stand. So.
Yeah.
Yep. But basically, the list is the reason why there's. I understand most Scorn players don't use Reavers in this kind of list, because the way they think of Zal is they want cheap infantry.
Uh-huh.
And Reavers are not cheap infantry, and I understand that. But what they give you is they give you a really good way of triggering more corpses for the Bokur.
Yeah.
Because when I played a game with Alexia, and when it clicked for me with Alexia was when I could advance Alexia forward. Alexia collects a corpse on her own from her own gun. And then gun mages come in from the side, shoot six models, and now all of a sudden she has seven corpses on her for my turn three. Like, and then Boomhowlers advance in front. And that was kind of my plan with this list.
Yeah.
Where I kind of use Annihilators as Boomhowlers, even though they're not even close. But, so that's my basic strategy.
I like them in this list just because it gives your list presence. That it would not otherwise have without them.
Presents? Like Christmas?
No. Yeah. Like, a lot of lists have to be really scared of those Reavers. And they're pretty versatile in that they can have... And with CRA, you can get five pretty good, pretty accurate POW 12 shots. Or... if you're shooting at like heavier targets or medium bases or large bases, you know, then you can start doing the smaller two mans and three man CRAs.
Yep.
And just getting off like tremendously huge shots, you know.
So I guess my question is, the Annihilators are going to be what's dying to power the feet and large.
Yeah, definitely. What,
and is it being spent on anything other than the battle group?
What do you mean?
The feet? Hakkar in the battle group, basically.
Hakkar in the battle group.
Hakkar in the battle group, yeah.
Kind of wish there was more in there to utilize the feet.
Yeah.
There doesn't need to be necessarily. Like, I'm not an advocate of building your list entirely around your feet, but it just feels like we might be getting low optimization out of Zal's actual feet.
The thing I like about it is I use his feet to take off a specific model. Like, that's how I used... To take off a Prime Axiom, I used my feet to do it. And I only feeded to get Mullet Karn. Like, he was the only model that benefited from my feet in my game against Convergence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's worth it when you're going against a Colossal, like 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like you should 100% use the feet to try and kill that Colossal.
So the thing is with Zal's feet, I have Mordekar on the brain, but with Zal's feet... Most of the time, the things that actually benefit from the feat are either Ancestral Guardians or his battle group.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, infantry models can't buy more attacks. And that's where you're spending those corpse tokens on. Or those, whatever they're called, rage tokens. And, like, Annihilators, if they charge, you can't boost it additionally. So,
Like, yeah, well, you can boost there to hit and ensure that they get a berserk off and then boost the additional berserks. And
yeah, that's true. And there's always, like, when I pop my feet, there's always a few Nihilator. Like, normally it's, well, I don't know. It's still much in testing.
I mean, the way that you used the feet for me when you were playing against, or when you were playing against me today, was you used it entirely on an assassination run.
Yep.
Because you popped your feet and then you didn't make any, you hardly boosted anything with it at all.
I boosted one attack with Hakkar, so that way I didn't have to spend his soul token.
And since Moloch failed his charge, you got no use out of the feat, basically.
Yep.
So.
So the thing I want to change about this list is I've already made a couple changes. I've put Tiberian in instead of Molokarn for a little bit more of a sturdy. I think I'm going to go back to what I had originally as my list a little bit, but I'm working on the Grizzen in my list and try and work that in. And it's a unit that I don't think is easy to play. And I'm still very much still learning them. So,
I don't think they're easy to play at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexia and the Risen are difficult, and they're basically the same, except they don't have the benefit of having
a hand cannon.
Yeah, the hand cannon is really nice.
And he's
that doesn't help them stay alive, though.
Yeah.
He's a medium.
And it's the fact that he's on a larger base than them, and he has really crappy defensive stats.
Yeah.
Like, the Gator Booker is defense 12, armor 16?
16 armor boxes 16. As opposed to 15, 14, 5.
As opposed to 15, 14? Like, yeah, that's... So the 8 boxes...
The hit points are pretty irrelevant.
They're not irrelevant. They're a pretty big deal, but, like, the def 12 versus def 15 is
so incredibly... The thing I want to change about my list is I really want a Kriya in it. The list I was running last week had a Kriya in it, and it worked really well. Because Akria just kind of follows Hakkar, and there's just this little bubble where Hakkar collects corpse or soul tokens from the Annihilators, and then the Bokur collects the corpses from the Annihilators dying from Last Stand, and there's Akria, and there's just this nice little triangle between the three of them, and it seems to work really well.
Yeah, that sounds. What would you take out for it?
That's what I'm really struggling with. Because there's the list is so tight on points, and
we need Master Scorn Dojo or John Damaris.
What about cutting? This is going to be blasphemous, but
the Reavers.
Nope.
Screw you, Crump.
That's not what I was going to say. Actually, at all. Potentially, since Zal is usually like an attrition game, I feel like his threat range doesn't matter quite as much, and you could maybe cut a Gladiator. Potentially, try that. Because then there's like this, my stuff's killing your stuff back and forth in the middle of the field, and then Tiberian just slowly.
Gladiator
dun, 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 dun.
Gives you 8, and then you put a Kriya and what else?
4
in?
Points of whatever you want.
Another Ancestral Guardian?
Eh.
Or a min unit of Karax?
I was actually also thinking of maybe cutting the. God, I'm crazy. Also cutting Peace Handlers.
No. If you're gonna play a beast handlerless Zal, you just theme force it up because his theme force is legit.
Yeah, like the reason, like Tiberian, once he loses that free charge and that +2 strength, all of a sudden he's kind of hurting just to be able to take down a colossal because now he's not POW 20, he's POW 18.
POW 18 with Zal's feet and Last Stand if you need it.
I'd rather not lose him if I could, because that's what's going to hold the zone.
Yeah, you don't want to cast Last Stand on your 11 point model.
That's arm 21. Not unless he's already got 2 boxes left. Well, 3, because all aspects, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, so it's. I think right now it's a really tough list, and I think maybe it's Marketh that actually has to leave the list.
What's he do besides, like, upkeep stuff?
What's Marketh?
You have to like.
Basically, he is gonna shuffle around Last Stand as I need. It keeps my caster safe for a potential hex blast to take off Arcane Shield. Rather than just trying to power through it, makes my game a lot better. Or you know, Defender's Ward as well, obviously.
Obviously. I mean, Marquette seems really good with him for cycling last stand and viable resolve, you know, or casting Hex Blast on something like when he's got souls.
Like the original list was with Mullet Karn was basically I wanted to actually use Awakened Spirit, which is something I don't use very often in my list build, just because like Gladiator's just going to be casting Rush anyway. Like he's not going to be doing anything for the most part in most of my games, so I don't care about spending that 2 fury on that. But basically, I want to awaken Spirit Mullet Karn, so that way he can Fate Walker back for free.
I like that.
And he actually becomes... It seems like he technically has more fury if he's awakened Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he technically has more fury because...
So sick!
When you run a Makeda list and he like charges forward, he only gets 5 attacks and then he has to Fate Walker.
Right.
When
now
this
he
way,
gets 7.
Now he gets 7 or oh, 6 attacks, yeah.
Yeah, that's not that much better.
It's one better.
It is one better. And it's a feated, Azal's feated Mullet Karn that gets to come backwards.
Yeah, I mean, that seems really good, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that was the idea behind it. That was something I wanted to experiment with, and I think I still will.
Yeah, I don't know what to... I'm not sure what to change for that list, though. Like, I kind of wish John was here to give his feedback on it.
That list, as is, with Tiberian in it, I might try cutting the Gladiator for Kriya and something else, just to test it out.
Yeah, I think I will actually do that. Because it's...
Because then there's this bubble of, like, a Kriya standing... It's like playing Vanguards with Damiano, and there's just, like, a Vanguard sitting next to, like, all these sweet things. So now there's just, like, a Kriya sitting next to the Bokur and Hakkar and Tiberian and Zal's behind
Well, Tiberian should be within 2 inches of the Bokur as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, so it's like Kriya in front, Tiberian to the left of each, or to the left and right of the Kriya. Or
oh God, I really like Mullet Karn with Sundered or with Awakened Spirit though.
Yeah,
he's one of my. It's just kind of sick.
He's probably the best Awakened Spirit target.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah, without a doubt.
What, you don't like to bump
or bump. Or you could Awakened Spirit the Mammoth to do a free counter blast.
I mean, that's
problem
so
with
good.
Most of the other Scorn Beasts is that you're like, I would much rather just have Inviolable Resolve. When Mullet Karn's like, I'm just going to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just really good.
But one thing I found about this list is it does like to spread out, and I didn't realize that before I had played Chad. My two previous games I had played with this list, I had spread it out just because it was... the terrain had allowed me to spread out, and my game against Chad, I kind of set up the terrain really weird, and it just bottlenecked both of us pretty hard. And so
fighting in the Red Sea.
My Reavers kind of they had to bunch up behind everything else, and it just kind of made things really hard. But if they could have been to the side, I think the game goes a little bit differently, or my list plays a lot differently. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think we've probably talked this into the dirt.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
I think Grizzen have a few places in Scorn, and I think maybe their best places is in Scorn.
I definitely think that their best places in Scorn. I mean, like, it's unreal how... Because I just wanted to talk about this. It kind of blew my mind when I started thinking about how they were going to interact like with Last Stand and plus 2 strength and everything, and then being able to place. Because normally... Because what happened during our game was, you know, my burrowers got to alpha strike his front line, and normally that's really, really good for me, because I'm, you know, burrowers are very cheap, and then usually what they're killing is
more expensive.
Yep. And then they have to and then he would have to spend his entire turn basically getting through my burrowers, and my second line can get up there.
Yep.
You know, then I would be charging him with gators, and then spraying the gators clear. You know, it would just be really bad, but. Killing the Nihilators with the Burrowers almost just was negative value for me.
Yeah.
Because then he gets to make 7 free Risen, you know, free Swamp Shamblers. And the Swamp Shamblers with Backstrikes and plus 2 strength and you know, Last Stand. Like, they don't even need Last Stand.
Yeah.
But with Last Stand, they automatically practically kill the Burrowers.
Yeah.
And then he gets to move his whole line, you know, he gets to move his whole line forward. And that was basically just for free. Like, that's just for me not killing the Boker. You know, he loses his Nihilators, but he...
Sure.
And he probably... And, you know, if he upkeeps Last Stand, then he's going to lose the free Swamp Shamblers that he gets. But the point is that it doesn't set him... It doesn't set his line of engagement back, and it costs him literally nothing. Swamp Shamblers that he got for free from me killing his, like, guys. I don't know. It seems... And then I started thinking about it and how... a lot of the time what you do is you'll jam your, you'll smash your, you know, counter jam into their like front, you know, front line. And then you'll put your, you know, beefier targets behind your jam unit,
mm-hmm.
or your tar pit, or whatever you want to call it, whatever nomenclature you want to use. And you can just, if he wants to decide that he can ignore, if he decides that he wants to just ignore the tar pit, he can just spawn the swamp shamblers like all the way at max command range and just put them directly behind, you know, the tar pit.
And you then have to just charge out at your key models,
yeah,
rather
and then
than
charge that. Yeah, exactly. And then charge at your, you know, your juicy vittles instead of your frontline. I mean, and then they're, it's not like you can't ignore them because they're mat 5 pow 10 weapon masters.
Yep.
With boosted attack rolls.
Yeah.
Yep. Like so that.
Like what survives that? Like nothing.
Yeah. When I played my game with Chad, that was my thought process, is they were going to be charging some gators, and then things didn't quite go the way I wanted it to. But I killed one gator with them, basically. That was about it.
I can't believe Last Stand's not
and then perfection. Yeah, and then you could have, so you could have charged all my stuff in the back, and then when you do go to clear off my jam, then he refills up on his corpses and everything like that. The hardest part is just keeping the gator, the booker just, alive.
Yeah, that's something that's where my game needs to get a lot better.
But I think Tiberian and Akria goes a long ways. And then, like, I mean, you might even want to try and jam in swamp gobbers in there or something like that just to try and block even more line of sight.
Oh, boom. There's the points. Cut the Gladiator, Akria, Swamp Gobbers, and Ancestral Guardian. Done.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I'm just... It kind of blew my mind how ridiculously good these Swamp Shamblers are with Zol.
Plus
2 strength.
One thing I thought about is that it really changes. It actually changes how
tough and undead or tough and fearless.
It changes how Zol's game is played quite a bit. Because normally, and I didn't actually notice this until I played against Zol. But when the front line goes up and they charge your front line, like say my Annihilators that are Zol's Annihilators charge up into your front line, all of those Annihilators that are up there are going to die. And then normally there's this void between my front line and your second tier line. And then you get to push into Zol's army pretty hard because there's just nothing there to stop you because those models just die from Last Stand. Now those models are replaced with Shamblers. And so there's just all of a sudden all these Shamblers kind of jamming you up a little bit, which is something that Zol didn't normally do because they would have normally died. And then you can get to my key pieces without having to go through my front line. And the attrition game really goes to a weird place with Zol sometimes. And he's a caster who's really one of a kind. There's no one else like him. So
yeah, I think I agree with that. He can really make anything all game long into, you know, trading up. I mean, the downside is that you're not just trading up. I guess you're straight up sacrificing your model to kill their model. You just want to. Well, I guess you are trading.
Usually
up.
You're trading up because
you're just trading
cheaper. Or in this case, 0 points.
Yeah.
Huzzah!
Which is what, that's what really, I think, like, I feel like that's what really just blows the, like, barn doors wide
getting
open.
Getting free models to use with Last Stand.
Yeah, I actually.
And your models are free, and then they trade up, like, way above their.
I told Chad going into the game, I'm like, well, Last Stand's going on nothing but the Shamblers, because there's nothing in your list where I can trade up with.
Yeah, actually, probably. Oh man, no, that spell might be friendly faction. Whatever the one that Damiano has, that also P. Hexeris has.
Death March.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's faction. Friendly.
Is it?
It's friendly. It's friendly. I've done it before.
There
and
also
I wasn't.
Space
I was. I was not cheating.
Mat 7 pow 12.
The only problem, like I've done it before. There's a lot of synergy or scornergy.
What?
Because his feet.
Hexer's heart does a lot of RFPing.
Eh, so does Cassius, and I'm in love with the Shambler with that guy.
Like, I don't know. Sure. It's just that it's weird, like that plus one mat, because they're way better than Risen, aren't they? Like in melee?
Yeah, they're
they
mat 5.
Mat 5, pow 10, as opposed
pow
to
8.
Mat. Oh, sorry.
So they're plus one mat, plus one pow.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really good. I mean, the downside is huge. And I feel like that we're maybe underplaying the downside, which is just that the Bokur is 100,000 times easier to kill than Alexia is.
It's on a medium base. Defensive stats are worse and has a lower command range.
Yeah, and a lower command
range. Yep, Death March says target friendly unit.
I mean, he, like, is... It's sort of a lower command range, but sort of not really at the same time because he's on a medium base. Like, it's a very similar sized collection range because he's command 8 instead of 9.
But he has to be closer is the thing.
Sure.
Yeah. He has to be closer to the front line.
I mean, I think they actually balanced him around Scorn.
I don't know. My Alexia is usually... That was actually something when you first started talking was that... When you were discussing, like, he walks forward and then my Venator shoots some stuff and then I collect their corpses. That sounds way more aggressively than I, like, ever played Alexia.
Same.
Which was keep her in the backfield forever. Oh, look, it's like turn 4. She has 20 corpses. Alexia, go! Like, I just collect corpses on my own stuff usually. Unless I'm playing, like, Crix and doing the corpse mechanothrall battle. Like, sometimes I'll, like, run.
Yeah, where Alexia's like, well, I must combat these surgeons. But usually it's the surgeons that just dominate her in the corpse collection game. Yeah. They're like, Stitch Rolls, run.
Yeah, it's
like,
it depends.
Oh, also, you can shoot spells at the Gator Boker within 9 inches of him and not worry about all of your focus.
Until we get a despoiler.
I think I'll double.
Duh.
Double your...
Period. Combo that up, it's like just as good.
I don't know.
And add a hand cannon to some of those models.
It made me really want to figure out a Boker and Swamp Shambler's list with Epic Madrak, because I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to kill 20,
yeah.
I want to kill 10-point models with my 0-point models.
Yep.
It could be gun with Grim 2, potentially. Yeah. Then they got a Mat 7 POW
10
or whatever. I thought they were pound 9.
They're pound 8.
Man, actually, all this talk just makes me want to play with Xerxes and just give them fury.
Just make them pow 13.
I just want to give them.
Rawr.
I give them reach and electro leap. That's all.
Why?
This is super funny.
For shits.
It is.
So,
sure.
I guess you can chain lightning one in the back and not have it die.
Value town.
Oh, my God. Also,
plus EV.
A 0-point model kills 2 1-point infantry models. It's pretty hilarious.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not as good as a 0-point model killing, like, a heavy.
No.
Or a colossal.
No.
That's going to happen.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I'm sure someday it will happen.
They're definitely very good. And I'm frustrated that they come out before Rip Horn Satyrs.
So, yeah, anyway, I feel like that's definitely going to be a thing in the coming days.
Yep.
Grizzin. They're coming.
Yeah. Grizzin. You know what's not coming in the coming days? Rip Horn Satyrs.
Corollaries.
Just gonna keep... No, that comes out before the Rip Horn Satyr.
So does the spoiler.
The Rip Horn Satyr that got put on the internet in, like, September. I'm really pissed at Private Press right now. Right? It got put on the thing in, like, in September. Or, like,
coming
November.
Soon.
Coming soon to a store near you. Anything but Rip Horn Satyrs. Like, they're just like... I'm like, okay, maybe it'll come out in March.
Oh,
nope,
God.
Not in March. Okay, well, there's hopes for April, and it's like, upcoming releases, the corollary, and the spoiler. And I'm like, I swear to God, if those get released, the next day I look at the release schedule, it's like, April, the corollary, the spoiler, all the floaty Jackson. I hate life.
Nobody
Lance,
cares.
Cut this out.
I care.
Maybe they forgot to put it on their, like, January release schedule, and it's actually coming out this
Maybe
month.
It was a mistype. maybe it's out and you don't even know.
If they're at TempleCon, someone's buying me 3.
Maybe they won't be out until next January.
If they're at TempleCon, oh, God, I want to buy 3 and then videotape us, like, blendering them. And then bring them back to Crump as, like, a Rip Horn smoothie.
Oh, God, yes.
Pagani
will probably do that just for fun.
Really care.
The more fun part would be if they came out at... If they had them at TempleCon, but they weren't actually released until, like... August.
So you would have them and then not be able to play them in for most of the year. Yeah,
at that point, I'd probably put them in blenders myself.
This model's worthless.
Will it blend?
Jesus Christ!
Rip Horn Satyrs.
That is, God, I'm so frustrated about that.
All right,
can't play P. Kruger for like a half of the year.
All right. Well, I think that's a podcast.
Yep. Sure.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. This is Keith,
Colin,
Crump, and that's Chad.
Yep.
No, sign off, Chad.
Bye.
Nah. Thank you.
non-military personnel on top on the Death Star when it exploded.
How many robots?
Oh my God!
Like Luke Skywalker,
he's a massive murderer.
Killed a million people
that were not involved in the
that. Were not. I mean, they were just working there. Like they had to have like coffee shops
people.
And stuff.
Right? It's like off to my day job on the Death Star. I'll be back in 3 weeks, honey.
Yeah.
Did their family live on the Death Star?
Presumably, either that or they were like.
So he might have killed children?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Almost certainly.
Wow.
Probably way more than Darth Vader.
These are the things they never tell you.
I don't know that I like Luke Skywalker anymore. I know. The guy's kind of a bastard.
Oh, man. I guess it's a greater good argument. I don't know. Whatever. I'm sure that doesn't play well with the Force.
His best role is Cockknocker.
Oh, and Jay and Silent Boss check tag.
Hey,
I disagree.
His best role is the Joker.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. No, not even close.
Cockknocker, bar none.
What? You're crazy.
He is the second best Joker of all time.
Ooh, I think he's the best.
The second best. What's the best?
Heath Ledger?
No.
No.
What? Jack Nicholson?
No. Yeah, Jack Nicholson. Nailed it.
Heath Ledger played it in the actually Batman. Took his laugh from Mark Hamill.
That's fine. He did it better. Wait. Sorry.
I disagree with that. I think Mark Hamill's a much better Joker.
Who is the Joker in those terrible George Clooney ones?
What? There was only one George Clooney one, and there was no Joker.
I thought there were multiple George Clooney ones.
No, God, no.
George Clooney
There's
ones.
Just one.
I thought there was more than one.
No, there was a Val Kilmer one.
Wait. Maybe I'm just confusing it because they put in every single villain in the same movie.
There was just one villain.
Wasn't it just Iceman or whatever?
Or Poison Ivy.
Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and Bane were all in that movie.
No. Chill out.
And Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
That was the Val Kilmer movie.
It was Jim Carrey
and Tommy Lee Jones. And the Joker wasn't in any of those?
No.
Deep Freeze.
The Joker in the original... I guess if you call them the original run of films, he was just in the first one.
Well, the original run of films were the ones with Jack Nicholson from.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Batman. Batman Returns.
Bad ones from the 90s.
Then Batman Forever with Val Kilmer.
Ugh.
And then Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
That movie sort of sums up the if you jam a bunch of good actors into a movie, it's bad.
Which one? Forever?
Yeah.
With Val Kilmer and Nicole Kidman and Tommy Lee Jones.
One had Uma Thurman in
that was Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
Jesus Christ, I fucking don't even know.
He knows a lot about Batman movies.
Yeah.
God. I hate George Clooney so much. I just remember that they had a million villains in them.
Alicia Silverstone played Batgirl in that one.
You hate George Clooney?
Jesus, really?
No. Yeah.
What the fuck? These movies were so bad with so many good actors.
I think the only consistent actor over all of those movies, maybe the guy who played Gordon, but I don't think so, was the guy who played Alfred, who was pretty awesome at it, actually. Whose name I'm going to forget, but I have forgotten. But it was just this.
What about Q? He was the same in all the movies.
No, he hasn't been, but...
Yeah, he was.
I'm starting to think of, like, movies with Tommy Lee Jones in them that I dislike.
Batman.
Q is played by the guy who played Q forever, and then John Cleese, and now
that John Cleese is, like, in the mix, like...
No, he just did one, and then... Or maybe two.
I'm talking about all the old school...
Yes, all the old school ones. The Q is the same for a long time.
Was the Penguin in one of those?
Yes, he was in Batman Returns.
Was that Danny DeVito?
No, the Penguin was...
God!
The Penguin was not in any James Bond movie.
What the fuck?
You are stupid.
Sure? Maybe it was in that episode of It's Always Sunny. He was in Lethal Weapon 5.
Danny DeVito played a legitimately scary penguin, actually.
He was...
He's a scary guy.
God, watching him eat, like, even as himself, is terrifying.
Have you seen him eat?
He eats on all the time, and it is terrifying. I don't know how. He has mastered the art of terrifying me just by eating.
You're just flashing back to him chewing the guy's nose off or whatever
Yeah,
it was.
Chewing the nose off, eating the fish.
That's how
he eats a lot of fish.
That's how you think of him when you think of him, of just Danny DeVito eating or whatever.
No,
he just grabs people.
In one of the episodes of It's Always Sunny, he actually eats a pear and it is legitimately terrifying to me. Because he is disgusting.
He bites into the pear and you're like,
Get that umbrella away from me.
Hairs are kind of shaped like noses. Could be the...
But no, that guy is disgusting, and it's awesome.
But yes, in the first Batman movie, it was Michael Keaton and the Joker.
I'm done.
The second one, it was Michael Keaton and Catwoman and the Penguin.
Oh, my God.
And then it was...
Wait, who played Catwoman?
Oh, Michelle...
Halle Berry?
Oh, my God. Is that
Michelle? This is actually disappointing that I don't know this.
Anne Hathaway.
What was, like, the first superhero movie?
Probably Superman.
Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. With, what's his cripple?
Actually, no, John Wayne.
That's not...
Yeah, John Wayne. Superhero. John
yes, Michelle Pfeiffer. I was correct. Right. Oh, Christopher Walken was in that movie, too. He got thrown out of a window.
Did he oop, beep, boop. Window, boop.
That was terrible. Boop. Wow, you're so bad at
it. The worst at this.
And you're the worst.
I'm quite bad at it, but...
Okay, Colin, try and do a legitimate Christopher Walken impression. Go.
A boop, a beep, a boop.
Oh, my God. It's closer to Bill Cosby than Christopher Walken.
Now you see. A beep, a boop, a boop. Now, kids, you see.
Jello.
Jello.
A beep, a beep, a beep, a beep.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, I need to hear him.
You guys.
You guys.
That was still my favorite. That was
SNL skit?
That was still, no, my favorite Circle of Death game I ever played, which is like the card game, the card drinking game where each card of a deck like is some different rule or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think jacks or whatever are create a new rule where if anybody breaks the rule, they have to like drink. And so mine was everyone has to start talking like Christopher Walken.
So Colin would just immediately get drunk because he apparently can't do that.
Like, oh, beep, ba-doop. God damn it.
Because when he thinks Christopher Walken impressions, all he can think of is whatever
Fat
whatever his name was impersonating Christopher Walken voicing R2-D2.
Yep, yeah. That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
I always think I'm on this Star... My brain's on this Star Wars thing right now.
I think of that SNL skit now that you showed me. Skit was so good.
Oh, the fucking senses.
How many people live in this house? Oh, jeez, I'm not so good with numbers. Let's see.
Eight?
No, he's like, I want to say like 30?
Like, he's like, how about a 30? He's like, what, 30 people live in this house? He's like, well, yeah, I got me, my wife, a couple of candy bars, a plant.
It's such a good episode. He's like, I got this passport to Florida. Wait, I'm not coming in at all. It doesn't sound like.
Get a new mic, and then we'll start.
Beep, boop.
So let somebody else listen to it.
Hello.
See.
Hello.
How can we pre-ramble for like 8 minutes?
Beep, boop, beep.
Wait, did you start over?
No. It says 08.
That 8 looks an awful lot like a 0.
That's why it has a horizontal slash through it as opposed to diagonal.
Zing.
Very
boosh.
Okay. Pretty sneaky. Computer technology.
Nice.
Such a pretty boop, boop. Sneaky.
He was doing a Connect 4.
So we are talking about Clam Jacks first.
I think we're good.
Okay. Let somebody else listen to it.
Right. He's got the least gross ears.
Not me.
A bite, bloop, bleep. A bite, bye-bye.
The devil you say.
Beep, boop. Someone else talk.
Are your headphones plugged in to the right slot to the board? There we go. Now there is power to the board again. I believe Chad had
that working?
The power cord.
Yeah. I think we're good. Cord. Maybe that was the problem earlier.
Yes.
The power.
Make sure there are lights.
There are many lights.
Lights. Activate.
Lights, camera, action!